I don't know how many of you have had the privilege. How many of you before 9/11 have seen the World Trade Centers? No, I mean been there. Been up in it. Well, Monica and I have. And I'm going to tell you something. Every time that I see this, I keep thinking Monica and I could have been in that building. Because it was just a couple of years before that that we were there. When you're in something that tall, you're up there and you're looking out and you see all, of course, New York is, it's definitely a neat place to see. I wouldn't live here for all the money in town, but it's a neat place to see. Now, I've not seen the new one. It's been years since Monica and I have been up there. But it's special to us because we have been in the World Trade Center. And when that skyline disappeared, believe me, when you flew into New York or that, those two buildings stood out in that town. You knew you was in New York when you were flying in there by one or two things, the Statue of Liberty and the World Trade Centers. And they knew when they hit those two buildings that they were going to change New York City, which is the biggest city in the world and the biggest city, obviously, in the United States. But, like anything else, we were not defeated. We were stunned, maybe caught off guard, but hopefully that'll never happen again. Because we need to be aware that evil is all over the world. And there's evil in this country. But if you know evil and look out for it, you can be prepared for it. And I say that because it's the same way in our spiritual life. There's evil everywhere, and there are things that are coming to try to destroy you. How you think, how you believe, everything about your whole system, Satan wants to destroy it. Because if you are a Christian person, he looks at you as an enemy. As an enemy. He can't stand you. Can't stand you. Can't stand what's in your heart. And he wants to destroy you. And the way he does that is he may not be able to get your salvation. We preach that. I believe that once you make a serious confession to Jesus Christ, that's it. It's in stone. As long as you knew what you were doing, and you believed what you were doing, you were serious about what you were doing. But he can sure make life miserable. You know that, and I know that. And in this new series that I'm going to start called The Survival Guide, we need to get our thinking and our heart and everything about it, God's Guide to Survival. Part one of this, and there are going to be several things in this part one, is how we think. If you're in your spiritual mind, you have a way of thinking. You need to understand this. Your past does not have to define you. Remember that. Because there's nothing I can do about it. I can't change it. But listen to what this writer says about all this. From the introduction. Listen, your life, like every human life, is a collection of stories. You believe that? You're just one continuous story. Okay? Some grand, some not so grand, some disappointing, and some tragic. Every one of us deals with certain elements in our past. During the good times, you will celebrate. But when life takes a tragic turn, you will ask tough questions that defies easy answers. Perhaps you thought of solutions on your own. Perhaps friends, family, members have tried to help. But perhaps you've almost given up. We live in a world today you've got friends and you've got family that have given up. We thank you. I guarantee you. And sometimes in your life, there may have been some times in your life where you thought about giving up. Wow. Wherever you are, no matter how difficult your circumstances, God has a plan for you. You believe that? You may be a product of your past, but it doesn't have to define you. A plan that offers comfort, perspective, and peace is what God offers. That plan is contained in one place: God's holy word. God's word. We call it the Bible. At the end of the day, when no one else can comfort you, God can. I do the best I can when people call upon me to give them comfort. Whether they're in the hospital, funeral home, in their home, that's what I'm supposed to do. But I say this to everybody: I cannot give you the comfort that God can give you. I can pray with you, I can hug you, I can do whatever, but I cannot give you the hope that God can. Everybody said amen?
Amen.
In the hours before dawn, when you toss and turn and wrestle with worries about a broken past or an uncertain future, God offers peace unlike any other. You ever had a restless night? Huh? You ever tossed and turned? Because your mind will not let you rest. Wow. But if you're like most of us, finding God's peace isn't always easy. Especially when your heart is broken. Mind and heart in this series go together. But which one controls the other? So if you're struggling to find solutions to life's toughest questions, don't give up. Instead, keep searching for wisdom, starting with God's wisdom in God's Word. And when you do, you'll discover the strength, the comfort, and the assurance that only God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit can give. Now that's just the introduction. Walk this journey with me. Understand. Part one says how we think. Listen to this. Thoughts are things, powerful things. The way you think shapes who you are. It's powerful. If someone can get in your mind, as they say, they can change you. They can affect you. They can harm you. You need to believe that. Our thoughts have the power to lift us up or pull us down. Right? How you think, what you watch, what you do, what you say, where you go. Can either hold you up or put you down. Our prevailing attitudes have the power to create happiness or dissatisfaction, joy or pain, peace or stress, success or failure. Read that one more time. Our attitude. Everybody here's got an attitude. If you're watching me on camera, you got an attitude. Our attitude has the power to create happiness or dissatisfaction. You believe that? Say amen. You better believe it. Joy or pain. You believe that? That's right. Peace or stress. You believe that? believe that? Success or failure? How we think controls all that. All right. Here we go. Let's look at one of the hardest things on the planet to do is to get past our past. Are you ready to take the journey? Say amen.
Amen.
Powerful stuff. Some of life's greatest roadblocks are not the ones we see through the windshield. They are instead the roadblocks that seem to fear the rearview mirror. Because we are imperfect human beings who lack perfect control over our thoughts, we may allow ourselves to become stuck in the past, even though we know better. Instead of focusing our thoughts and energies on the opportunities of today, we may allow painful memories to fill our minds and sap our strength. We simply can't seem to let go of our pain. So we relive it again and again and again and again and again. What I say all the time, I may not have too good a memory, but if something caused me pain, I remember it. And that's the truth. That's how your mind works. That's how you think. Thankfully, God has other plans. All right, Larry, let's go with our first piece of scripture. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Paul says, brothers, I could not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do. Forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press toward the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Here's what Paul's simply saying. If I could change my past, I would. I don't know how to do it, so I'm not going to concentrate there. But here's the one thing I'm going to do. I'm going to look ahead. Look what it says. The one thing I do, I'm going to forget it, which are behind me, and I'm going to look what's before me. I want to tell you something right now. That is good biblical advice. Now, if your past strengthens you, helps you, that's fine. But 80% of the things that you remember are not the things that strengthen you. They are the things that confuse you, cause you pain, second guess your decisions, and then say, because of that decision I made in 1995 is the reason I'm in the shape I'm in today. Don't dwell on the things that hurt. Look to the things that can help. We want to have a positive. This scripture here, as the writer says, instructs us to focus on the future, not the past. The one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Yet for many of us, focusing on the future is difficult. Why? Part of the problem has to do with forgiveness. You know what haunts your past? You can't forgive. Is that true? I mean, let's just admit, is that true? You better believe it is. When we find ourselves focusing too intently on the past, it's a sure sign that we need to focus instead on a more urgent need, the need to forgive. Until we thoroughly and completely forgive those who have hurt us, and until we completely forgive ourselves, see, forgiveness comes in two different forms. There may be people I've got to forgive, but I've got to also forgive myself. Huh? Make sense?
Yes.
Do you see why this is going to be a powerful series?
Yes.
Until we thoroughly and completely forgive those who hurt us, and until we completely forgive ourselves of our own mistakes and shortcomings, we are never fully free from the past. Everybody here has made mistakes. Everybody here has shortcomings. That's why we need grace. That's why we need grace. That's why we need grace. And that's why it's amazing. No, listen closely, no amount of anger or bitterness can change what happened yesterday. No matter how angry, no matter how bitter you are, it ain't going to change it. It's not going to change it. We have to learn to accept that. In a moment, we're going to see how we do that. Tears can't change the past. Regrets can't change it. Our worries won't change the past, and neither will our complaints.
Our what?
Complaints. Complain about it. Does that make you feel better? It sure didn't change nothing, though, did it? Simply put, the past is and always will be the past. Can you summon both the courage? This is a question. I want you to listen to it. Can you summon both the courage and the wisdom to accept your past and move on with your life? It's a good question. Can you, another question, accept the reality that yesterday and all the yesterdays before it are gone? Can you accept that? And can you entrust all those yesterdays God? Because that's the only hope you got. Put it in God's hands, and that's where our hope is. It's not in you. You can change it. Our hope is in God. Once you have made peace with your past, this is a very strong statement, you are free to become fully engaged in the present. We need Christian people fully engaged in today. The reason we got the many people we got in here is so many people can't get past the past to be forgiven and to forgive and to put Jesus in their life and focus on today. If they did, they would be in God's house. Once you've made peace with your past, you're free to become fully engaged in the present. And when you become fully engaged in the present, you are then free to build a better future for yourself and your family. Because it's not always about you. But you can affect other people. You know that? Sure, you can affect yourself, but you can affect other people around you. Can you imagine if your attitude changes, how it may affect others around you? That preaches to me. I put myself on the front row. How can I expect people to respect me if I can't even respect myself? Can you see how I take this a little passion? Because this is life-changing in the world we live in today, in Texas. If you've endured a difficult past, now let me say it here. Everybody here has had a difficult past. I don't care how good you had. There's been some things in your past that's been difficult for you. We all understand that. That's just the way life is. Okay? If you've endured a difficult past, then learn from it. Don't live in it. If there's some things in your past that you've learned from, that was good. My dad was an electrician. My dad got shocked twice. There's a reason he didn't get shocked a third time, because he learned. Does that make sense? that you do that brings you pain, if you keep doing it, you got nobody to blame but yourself. If you allow people to hurt you, you've got nobody to blame but yourself. And if you're hurting people, you've got nobody to blame but yourself. You understand that, Roger? Instead, build your future on a firm foundation of trust and forgiveness. Trust in your Heavenly Father and forgiveness for all His children, including yourself. Give all your yesterdays to God and celebrate this day with hope in your heart and praise in your lips. If you are alive, then celebrate it. There have been times I didn't know whether I was going to live. And if I did die, that's okay. I'm going to be with the Lord. But I am alive. I'm thankful I'm alive. I've got pain. I've got different things. I've got issues. But I've also got a reason. You're here for a reason. When God is still with you, it don't make no difference what kind of doctor care you've got. You're going to go home and be with Him. But until then, remember, you have a reason for being on this planet. Find out what that reason is. And give God the glory for it. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Your Creator intends to use you in a wonderful, unexpected way, if you let Him. But first, God wants you to make peace with your mind. And He wants you to do it now. All right, Larry, let's look at these next two pieces of Scripture. Again, a new commandment write I unto you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and true light is already here. Your past is your darkness. It's behind you. But Jesus is the light of your path, and the light of your present, and the light of your future. Thank God. Thank God. When I accepted Jesus Christ, He just wiped out my past. Literally just erased it. And He said, from this day forth, you're part of the family of God. And now, follow the light. Don't look in the rear view mirror. You know, the worst way to have an accident is looking at your rearview mirror while you're driving. The number one way to have an accident, if you ain't paying attention to what's headed, you will crash. That's just common sense, isn't it? All right, Larry, let's look at the last piece of Scripture. But the God of all grace, yes, He is, who called you in His eternal glory in Christ. After that, you have suffered a little while. Everybody here has suffered on some level. But let me tell you something. Whatever we've suffered, in comparison to eternity with Jesus, is just a short span of time. Shall Himself perfect, establish, strengthen you. That's your future. If the past inspires you, good. If it doesn't, leave it there. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Do not let your mind overrun your heart. Because here's what happens. Your mind will tell you, there is no way Jesus can love you. Because you're off. I know what you've said. I know what you've done. God ain't going to love you. Are you kidding me? Can't you hear Satan talking to you like that? You watch the internet, he's talking to you like that. You're not worth it. You're useless. Just do the best you can to die and go to the ground. and I know that's a lie. Because you are useful. You're not useless. You're useful. Get that out of your mind. Get that away from how you think. Because you are a child of God. And no matter what you've done, you can be forgiven. But understand, God's grace is in a moment of time. And nobody is promised tomorrow. Nobody. And we all know who studied the scripture that Jesus is coming again. And everything is in and on the calendar already. As I say, the trumpet is in the hands of Jesus. Get your people ready. Wear your family out. I don't care if they disown you. I won't speak to you. You wear them out. Get in church. Get in church. Get ready. Get in survival mode. This is what this series is about. What do you think? Are you ready for the journey? Stay with me. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, we thank you. Father, we're thankful for good Christian men who write these wonderful books. Father, I'm thankful for each person who's here today. And it's not by accident that we're here today. It's not by accident, Father. It's been planned through the ages that we would be here today. Father, it is my prayer. The Lord, you change the way we think. And that, Father, we'll be able to help those around us that we love to change their way of thinking. It's not the church will save you. The church is a place to come and to hear about salvation. It's a place to come and to change one's life. It's a place to come to learn. It's a place to come to worship. It's a place to come to get ready, because Jesus is coming. If you're watching me by internet, you don't have a church home, I don't care where you live or what you do, there's a church close by. Find it, get in it, make sure they're preaching Jesus, and hang on to everything you got. Because Satan's coming. And he won't touch you if you put Jesus first. Father, bless these moments. Thankful for them. To those who need a quiet time at this altar, we're going to invite you to come. But Father, understand. We need to understand that Jesus is coming soon. In Jesus' name. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed. If you need a quiet time at this altar, you come. If you need me to pray with you, I will. If you're looking for a good church home, we'd love for you to come. Will you come in the name of Jesus?